Hello and welcome to the Book of Malachim. My name is Gideon Rothstein. The Prakim and Malachim are perhaps somewhat long, so it will be a challenge for us just to fit in the Psukim into our allotted time period. We will try to do our best to make it both interesting and enlightening as we read through the Prakim. Book of Malachim opens up with a portrayal of David HaMelech as old. The book says, "Vamelech David Zaken, Vamayamim, old and advanced in years, Vayechasu Vabigadim, Lo Yichamlo." They covered him with clothing, but that would not warm him up. So there is some discussion about what it is that this lack of warmth comes from. Some midrashim suggest that it's because David had torn Shaul's garments back in when he was fleeing from Shaul. He had shown disrespect for clothing, and therefore clothing ceased to help him out. Others have suggested that it was because David HaMelech saw the angel of death when he was punished in the book of Shmuel by having a plague hit the Jewish people, that he saw the angel of death there, and that experience leaves one no longer able to stay warm. Perhaps it means that no one can no longer ignore his mortality, and therefore warmth is no longer available. In any case, the servants, his advisors, suggest him that they'll find you a nice-looking young woman. She'll both serve you as a servant, as a nurse, as an attendant, but also she will lie with you and provide you that kind of physical warmth. And they find a girl, a young woman named Avishag from Shunem, a city that will come up again and again in the book of Malachim. And they bring her to the king. She was extremely beautiful. And she was his nurse, and she attended to him. But he did not have conjugal relations with her. These four psukim are sort of an opening to the book, or to the perek at least, and it's unclear what they're doing, because now we're going to move on into a discussion of Adoniah, David's son, deciding that he would be the successor, and Natan and Bathsheba deciding that they would find a way to get David to verify that Shlomo would be a successor. I think many people assume that these psukim were to show that David is really on his way out, as it were. That he is so advanced in years he can't get warm, and so advanced in years that he does not even want to have sexual relations. I think that by the end of the parak we'll see a different perspective on that issue. V'adamiya ben Chagit mitnasei lemor ani emloch, mayaz lo rechem ufarashim v'chavishim ish ratzim lefanav. So Danuya decides that he will be the king after David is gone, and so he has a chariot, and he has horse riders in front of him. In other words, he has a lot of attendants, and 50 people running before him, signs of rulership. And his father never stopped him, never saddened him, or never remonstrated with him. Why are you doing this? And he was also very handsome, good-looking. And his mother, Chagit, had given birth to him after Avshalom. That reference suggests that David is expressing here a weakness of his for this part of his family, and perhaps that weakness is what led Adoniah to assume that he could rule even if his father wanted somebody else to rule, that his father was really unable to turn him down. It's a discussion. I don't know that there's enough room in Tanakh to understand what's going on here, but certainly David seems to have not disciplined Adoniah in the way we might have expected. So he speaks to Yoav and to Avyatar the Kohen, and they decide to follow Adoniah to help him and to become part of his group. But many of David's other advisors, Tzadok the Kohen, Benayahu ben Yehoyada, and Natan the prophet, and Shimei and Re'i, all of these heroes, all of these mighty men, lo yu Adoniyahu, they stayed with David. So Adoniyah now has a very public celebration. He slaughters sheep and cattle and fattened oxen at the Eved HaZochelet, at the stone of Zochel, which is near Ein Rogel, just in the place where it is, and he calls to all of his brothers, the sons of the king, and to all of the important people of Yehuda, who were servants of the king. So he's clearly defining the political parties here. He's not calling Natan, he's not calling Benayahu, He's not calling the Giborim, he's not calling Shlomo, because he knows that they're on the other side of this issue. So he is trying to curry favor with all those whose commitments are already are not yet known. So Natan points out to Batsheva, who's the mother of Shlomo, and therefore is certainly concerned with Shlomo's future. Don't you see that Adoniyahu is acting as if he will be the successor king, and David doesn't know? So Natan certainly seems to be assuming that David is out of touch, that David is unaware of what's going on. Now Batsheva also seems to be not so aware of what's going on. Natan is bringing her in. So Natan has the idea, it's kind of interesting, because a prophet, a Navi, is not usually someone we think of as being politically savvy, of having political smarts. But here he very clearly does. So he says, I'll give you an idea, and you can save yourself, and you can save your son Shlomo. David, he says to her, so go to David and say to him, you swore to me that Shlomo would be the king after you, after David has passed away, and that he would sit on the throne of David. So why is it that Adoniyahu is the one who is ruling? So Natan goes on to say, so it says, and as you're talking, I'll come and I'll fill in and I'll support what you've said and I'll emphasize it. So the whole structure of Natan's suggestion is that David is weak or out of touch or not so aware, and that just Batsheva saying to it won't convince him. But if he gets two in a row, that maybe will get him to do something. So that's what they do. But Tavo Batsheva Lamelech Chachadra. The Melech has a kid ma'od, and she comes to the room where the king is, and he's very old. And Avishag is there serving the king. So again, I think the usual understanding of this reference to Avishag is to once again emphasize to us how old David is, as opposed to just said to us. The Melech has a kid ma'od, that he's really very, very aged. And Avishag is there. So let's see what happens. Vatikor Batsheva v'tishdachu l'melech v'yomer ha'melech malach. So he says, she comes in, she bows down, he says, what's the problem? Vatomer lo adoni ata nishbata b'shem elokecha la'amatecha ki shlomo v'neich yimloch acharai v'hu yeshev al kisi. So she says to him, you swore to me that Shlomo would be the king after you. V'ata ini adoni ha'melech. And now look, adoni ha'melech is becoming the king. V'ata adoni ha'melech lo yadata. Now that ve'ata is, by the way, with an ayin. It means, and now, my king. Ve'ata, my master, the king. Ve'ata, Adoni HaMelech. You don't know this. You're not aware of what's going on. So she seems to be saying, you're not so in touch. Ve'izbach shor emiri v'tzod larov. Ve'ikra l'chol b'nei HaMelech. L'v'yata ha'kohen. L'yof tzar ha'tava. L'yisov avdecha lo karat. So she tells him what happened. That he's having this big sacrifice, this big party, this big event of state, as it were. And he called Avyatar the Kohen, and he called Yoav, so he's got the structures of government. He's got a general, he's got a priest, he's got a king, and he didn't call Shlomo. V'atadunei HaMelech, and now you, my master the king, so that's V'atadunei HaMelech, with an aleph, you, this time you're talking to David, Einecho Yisrael Alecha, everybody's looking to you, Lagid Lahem, Mi Yeshev HaKisei Adunei HaMelech HaCharav, to tell them who will sit on the king's seat after him, on your seat after you. And if you don't say anything, then after you go to your maker, after you pass away, the phrase, of course, is lishkav imavotav, to lie with your forefathers. So me and Shlomo are going to be sitters, are going to be offenders for Adoniyah. Meaning if Adoniyah goes in to be the king, as it seems is what's going to happen, we'll be in trouble. Now they fulfill their ruse. Natan comes in also. And they tell the king, you know, Natan's coming here. And he comes before the king and he bows down face to the ground. And then Natan says the same thing. Adori Hamelech, Ata Amart, Adori Yahu Yimloch Acharai V'Yeshev Akisi. Did you say that Adori Yahu is going to be the king after me? Ki Yerana Yom Vayizbach Shor Marie V'Tzod L'Ramuv. He sacrificed all these animals. V'Yikra L'Kol B'Nei Hamelech, all the sons of the kings. Ule Sarei HaTzava, Ule V'Yatar HaKohen, V'Yinam Ochlim V'Shotim V'Fanav, V'Yamru Yuchi Hamelech Adori Yahu. And he's called all these people, and now they're eating and drinking with him, and they're all saying, Yuchi HaMelech Adori Yahu. So that's information that Bathsheba did not give, that they are actually going so far as to make clear their expectation and their hope that Adori Yahu will be king. V'li ani avdecha ulitzadoga kohen uvtayo ben yodam v'shlomo avdecha lo kara. Then he goes over the fact that those who are clearly loyal to David and to Shlomo have not been called. So now Natan says, if it's from you, if you decided this is the way it should go, and you haven't made it clear who is going to rule after you. So David says, call Bathsheba back. So she comes back and she stands there. So apparently she had left. We don't know this, but apparently she had left when Natan came in. She had said her piece. The time comes in, and she goes up. Vayishavah melech vayomar, chay Hashem shepada nafshi mikol tzara. He takes an oath in the name of God who had saved him from all troubles. Sorry, excuse me. Ki kasher nishbati lach b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael lemor, as I have sworn to you in God's name, ki shlomo v'neich Yimloch acharai, that Shlomo, your son, will rule after me. Who Yishev akisitakle, he will sit on my throne, in my place. Ki kenaseh hayom azeh. So I'm going to do that today. It's not just words anymore. I'm going to now put it into action. Vatikor Bathsheba paim eretz, vatishtachu lamelech, vatomer yichiyadu lamelech David leolam. So she bows down, and she says, "Let David Hamelech live forever." So that's obviously, or it seems to be, a formulaic way of saying thank you or saying praises the king or whatever it is, because clearly we don't believe that David is going to live forever, nor is she hoping that he's going to live forever, because we're just in the middle of discussing what's going to happen after he passes away. So this idea of living forever is either completely metaphorical, or it means something along the lines of don't think that we're looking for you to go, or something along the lines of that as long as your dynasty is around, then you yourself will be living on in their midst. Whatever it means, David now moves into action. Vayomer HaMelech David, Kiruli Letzadok HaKohen, Uleretan HaNavi, Velivdeya VaYodah, VaYavo Zdeva. So he calls his close advisors, the one who stayed with him, the ones who Adoniah was clear would never come over to his side, and therefore did not bother to invite to his big party. And the king says, okay, this is what we're going to do. Take your servants, take my servants, the servants of your master, meaning my servants, and ride Shlomo on my donkey. So, you may remember from the Megillah, that riding on the king's donkey or horse is a sign of esteem, a sign of value in the rulership. They'll ride them to Gichon, but they're doing more. They're going to take him down to Gichon, umashach oto sham tzadok haKohen, and they are going to there anoint him to be king. Natan haNavi leMelech al Yisrael, so tzadok the Kohen, and Natan the Navi will anoint him to be king over the Jewish people. Utikatem b'shofar, and you should blow a shofar, v'amartem yichya Melech Shlomo, and say, let King Shlomo live. Then you come back and let him sit in my throne. And then he will rule in my stead. And I have commanded him to be the ruler over the Jewish people and over the tribe of Yehuda. So Benayim says, great, that Amen, let it be that way. Let Hashem agree to this plan. Kasher haya Hashem Adonai HaMelech, as God has been with you, with David, ken yihi im Shlomo, v'gadol kiso v'kisei Adonai HaMelech David, and let his throne be even greater than the throne of David. So this is a very interesting contrast to the bracha that Bathsheba gave when David told her his plans. She said, Yichya Adonai HaMelech David Le'olam. But Eliyahu says something similar, although he doesn't say that. What he says is, let God be with Shlomo as well, and let his seat, his throne be greater. It suggests that Benayahu is aware of the fact that when parents think about their children, I suppose at least mature parents, they long for their children to outstrip them. And as David comes to the end of his life and realizes that his life is coming to an end, and his rulership is coming to an end, the best blessing you give a parent in that situation is that the child will not only continue what you've done, but will push it on further, and that his seat or his throne will be even greater than the one that came before. And so they do it. The creative of the plate with a special palace guard. And they do this. They put him on the donkey, and they take him down to the Gichon. He takes the special oil out of the tent. He anoints Shlomo to be king. They have a whole crowd of people there, and they blow a shofar, and they say Yichyeh Melech Shlomo. So they have this ceremony. And then all the people would come together around, follow him. And they are playing musical instruments. And they're extremely happy. And the earth shakes, splits with the sound of them. So the question is, part of the question is, what is the power of this ceremony? After all, we've been told that at Adoniyahu's sacrifice, at Adoniyahu's party, where he's slaughtering animals, and he's got the political leaders of his day gathered around, and they are saying, according to Natan at least, they're saying, Yichi Adoni, Yichi HaMelech Adoniyahu. One would wonder about the power of this ceremony, why it would necessarily outweigh that ceremony. But it does, apparently, because as we read on in the parak, we see that as soon as the people gathered at Adoniyahu's place hear about this, they immediately know that the game is over for them. As the pasuk says, Vaishma Adoniyahu, V'chola Keruim Asher Ito, all those at the party hear what's going on, V'kilu Me'echol, and they stop eating. And they stop eating because there's a problem. Vaishma Yoav call a shofar, and Yoav hears the shofar, V'yomer, Madua Kol HaKir Yach Luba, what's all this noise? What's going on that everybody's making all this noise? So they don't know. They're still talking. So Yonatan is the son of Avitar. Avitar is the Kohen who was with Adoniyahu. And he comes. And Adoniyahu is still not sure what's going on. So Vayomer Adoniyahu, Bo, come, welcome. You are a good guy. You're a strong guy, a courageous guy. And you will give us good news. He's wrong. Vayad Yonatan. Vayomer Adoniyahu. Yonatan answers and says, is that true? But David HaMelech, you should know, made Shlomo king. Benayahu and Natan and Tzadok and the Kreti and the Pleiti went, and they rode him on the king's donkey. And they anointed him with oil. They did it at Gichon, which is where they traditionally made such ceremonies. And everybody was very happy. The whole city was rejoicing and celebrating. And that is the sound that you heard. And Shlomo also is sitting on the throne of kingdom. And now, something we haven't known until now, all of the servants of the king have come to bless David, saying, like Benayahu had done earlier, they all come and say a similar thing. May God make Shlomo's name greater or better known, or I think better than your name. Let his throne be greater than your throne. And the king, who is in bed, bows down on his bed. the Gagach of Ahimelech, and the king himself to him. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shekatan Yom Yosheva Kisi Ve'inai Ro'ot. And he said, thank God that has this day given me somebody to sit on my throne, and my eyes are able to see it. Vayechardu Vayakubu Kol HaKarim HaShem L'Adon Yehu Vayachu Yishin L'Akom. So, as soon as they hear these words, they all get very frightened. They get up, and they all run away. And they each go somewhere else. So, we'll get to Adonijah in a second. He runs away, and he tries to get Shlomo to agree not to kill him, and we'll see that in a moment. We'll finish off the parak. But the structure of the parak is worth considering. If Adonijah knew that David HaMelech has promised on other occasions that Shlomo would be king, then his attempt to become king in this way would apparently have been a preemptive attempt to get around David HaMelech. It would suggest, if you read it that way, that Adonijah assumed that David was too out of it to be aware of what he was doing, and that David would never make Shlomo king, and that therefore he, Adonijah, could step into the vacuum of power and become king. It wasn't so much a coup as a way around a man who is out of it. I think that must be what Adonijah was thinking. Otherwise, he had no hope of getting what he wanted to get. And Natan and Batsheva apparently think that as well. What bothers me about that structure or that portrayal of David HaMelech in this situation is a couple of things. First, and most importantly, David doesn't do much here other than repeat his allegiance to Shlomo ruling after him, and then ordering his men to enact a ceremony that would verify that. Now, if David was already out of it, if he had lost control and lost power, the fact that David tells them to have this ceremony shouldn't mean anything. So it strongly suggests to me, anyway, that David was old. Everybody knew he was old. And in being old, he certainly had stepped back somewhat from the day-to-day running of the kingdom. That would seem to be true. But he wasn't quite as out of it as people thought. And that therefore, as soon as David steps in and says, do this ceremony, and makes his intentions clear, and has a formal ceremony to make Shlomo king, that was the end of the story. There was no room for a rebellion, for an argument, for a succession fight, for a suggestion that David didn't know what he was doing. Adonijah does not, even though he apparently has lots of backing, does not even assume that he has a chance to stand up against Shlomo, even though Shlomo is much younger than him. Once the people know that this is what David wanted, it's over. And I think once we see that the incident with Avishag is interesting as well. It seems to me, although I could be wrong, but it seems to me that if David was so out of it, that it would be more likely that he would consummate his relationship with Avishag than not consummate. It could be he was so old that he wasn't able to do that. But the reminder that Avishag was there, again, it's two possibilities. One possibility is the Pasuk emphasizes that Avishag was there when Batsheva came in to show us how old he was. But the ensuing events, to me, suggest that is incorrect. I tend to assume that it's the other way around. They bring David a beautiful woman, and she provides the services, and David, while fully able to, chooses not to, because he is not nearly so far gone as everybody assumes that he is. That's my way of reading it, but reasonable people could differ. So in any case, here we are. Adonijah is now scared. So in Pasuk Nun, Adonijah Yareh Mipnei Shlomo, he fears Shlomo, which is because Shlomo is a young man here. But he fears Shlomo because Shlomo now has the power of the kingship, the power of the throne. Vayakov Vayelech, Vayachazek B'kanot HaMizbeach. So he runs, and he holds on to the corners of the altar. Now here, the whole idea of holding on to the corners of the altar is an interesting one. Adonijah seems to assume that he could not be killed if he held on to the corners of the altar, as Yoav will later do that, but it's not quite true. There is a passage in the Torah that says about certain situations, you take him from the altar to kill him, and it suggests that in certain circumstances, you wouldn't take it from the altar, but that seems to only be for Kohanim who were in the process of serving in the service of the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash. Here, Adoniyahu seems to just assume that once you're at the Mizbeach, once you're at the altar, nobody would do any damage to you. It's not clear why he thinks that, but that's what he seems to think, and others seem to have thought so as well. So people tell Shlomo that he's afraid of you. And now he's holding on to the Mizbeach, and he's saying, Yishavali Chayom HaMelech Shlomo, Im Yamin Elavdo Mecharev. He's trying to extort from Shlomo a promise, an oath, that Shlomo would in fact not kill Adoniyahu. So Shlomo refuses to give the promise that was sought. If he acts properly and appropriately from here on in, then nothing will happen to him. But if he does anything bad, then he will die. So that's an interesting promise. It is the kind of a promise you would have thought would have put Adoniyahu on his guard. But as we will see in upcoming chapters, Adoniyahu in Perek Bet, Adoniyahu does not learn his lesson. He still thinks he can get around it. So we'll see that Perek Bet, but it already suggests us that Adoniyahu was the kind of a person who thought that he did not have to be bound by the simple, ordinary, conventional way of things working, and he was assuming that he would be able to fight his way around it. Here, even though he knew that David had promised Bathsheba that Shlomo would rule, he thought he'd get around it. When that doesn't work, he thinks he can extort a promise from Shlomo. He gets a conditional promise from Shlomo, which is not quite the same thing. In Perek Bet, we'll find him again thinking that he can get his way around what he's supposed to be doing. Vayishlach haMelech Shlomo, vayiridu be'al mizbeach, vayavo vayishtach ol haMelech Shlomo, vayimlo Shlomo, leich levitach. So Shlomo said that they take it from the mizbeach. So apparently, even his attempt to insist on being in the mizbeach was not fully kept to. Shlomo made a conditional promise, and he had to come down. He comes down, he bows down to Shlomo, and Shlomo says to go home. And that's the end of Perek Aleph. So David is not dead yet. Perek Bet opens up with the words, "Vayikru v'yimei David lamut," and we'll see that tomorrow, that David is going to be close to death. So Shlomo is not actively king yet. Shlomo has been declared the future king. And in being declared the future king, Shlomo now has certain powers, and Shlomo's word has certain values. And what we have seen is that as David's days came to an end, there was strife within the family. Adoniyahu apparently thought he could get around David's express wishes. He thought he could, fool David or ignore David or circumvent David. But if David was home in bed and not paying so much attention, especially if you understand Avishag is a sign of David's advanced age and loss of his faculties. Not my way of reading. My reading is the opposite. But certainly there was room for people to assume that was going on. So Adoniyahu thinks that he can get around it. And what we have here, therefore, is a picture of David making sure, with the end of his days, to leave behind a well-established monarchy for his son Shlomo. That will continue in Perek Bet. We see Adoniyahu having made one attempt to circumvent Shlomo, an attempt to extort a promise from Shlomo, and in Perek Bet we'll see him try one more time to get around Shlomo, and we don't see very much of Shlomo at all, other than that Shlomo knows not to make promises that he doesn't want to keep. So we have three important characters. The Tana Navi is an important character too, and Bathsheba, and they have their role to play. We'll see more about Bathsheba in Perek Bet as well. But that's all we have in Perek Aleph. Have a great day.